This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Do I take out another credit card, you know, to pay this pay down the balance or to pay for the fertility treatment? Or I even considered taking out a home equity loan against my home to pay for this.
Hello, and welcome to Lunch's podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am here with my guest today, Nia. Hi, Nia.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. This is so exciting. I've been listening to the podcast for like ever. I want to say since 2022, maybe 2021. So I am so excited to be on as a guest. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, thanks for being a listener. It's always fun to meet listeners. I know that people listen because, you know, like we see the numbers, but then it's very strange when people are like, I've been listening. And I'm like, oh, that's great. I know it's more than my mother. So, but it's nice to meet real listeners.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about yourself? So age, location, job, income, all that jazz.
Okay. So I'm 39. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. My income is $102,500. And what was that last one? Oh, marital status.
Well, oh, what do you do? Oh, yeah, single. Okay. And then also, you don't have to say exactly what you do, but like industry, maybe?
I'm a program manager as a contractor in the federal government.
Amazing. And so, since you're a listener, do you want to start with expenses or like savings and debt?
Sure. So I can kind of break it down. Okay. I have my debt in broken down like by mortgage, credit cards, saving, and then my savings on a separate like tab. So I can start with my mortgage debt.
Okay.
So between my mortgage and taxes and insurance, it's about $840. And I have a second mortgage because I went through a first time home buyers program. It's at a 0% interest. However, it still does have a good amount of a balance, but I pay $113 on that every month. And then I have a condo fee that's $375. So it's about $1,328 total.
$1,328 total between the two mortgages and the condo fee.
Yes.
$28. Perfect.
Credit card debt. So I do have some credit cards. I have about six. The balance on all of them is around $22,000. But my monthly payment that's due is $529. So that's how much I'm supposed to pay, but I've been trying to knock them out because a few of them actually have an interest rate over 24-25%. And so I've been really trying to knock that out.
Okay, but the minimums usually with credit cards take a long time to pay off, but the minimum they stay is $529.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
So I have student loans.
Yes,
student loans are at $4,300 finally. Over the last 2 years, I've actually paid off about $22,000. So I'm really proud of myself for that. That's why I don't have a
savings.
That's
amazing.
You'll hear that next. they were rising. I couldn't refinance them or really do anything with them. And one of them is at 10%. And I just couldn't do that anymore because I was, it was just compounding. And so I had to like figure out a way to pay it off. And then moving on to savings, I do have $5,000 in savings, not a whole lot. I have a goal to have about $15,000 just because I'm a homeowner and things break down. Actually, my HVAC actually just broke down a few weeks ago. So trying to figure out how to pay that is a concern.
What did that cost?
So it's around 6,500 is what they've quoted me.
Okay.
I mean, it's a condominium, so it's not a huge unit that has to be replaced, but they are pretty pricey. And
Yeah, home
then I
ownership,
did,
you know,
oh yeah.
the home ownership is expensive.
It is expensive. Between the HVAC and I mean, I've had my condo for about 14 years now, so I'm really lucky that I have not had major issues. This is the first big thing that's broken down. But had I had some savings, I could have just knocked it out. But I don't want to use my savings because it's so low, to pay it off. So, yeah. But being a homeowner is definitely, it has its challenges for sure.
Yeah. But that's a long time. Okay, so you've had the property for 14 years. And what was the term on your mortgage? How long is your
So
mortgage for?
I had originally had a 30-year mortgage term at around, it was around 6%, the interest rate. And then about 3 years ago, I refinanced it because mortgage rates had dropped so low. So now I'm at 3%, or
Great.
roughly 3%. I think it's like 3.2. And I reduced it to 20 years, but I actually make an additional payment on it every month so that I can pay it off early.
Okay. And what do you, so you're, you said your payment's $1,328, and what do you put extra on it? Or what do you
I put
normally put
an
extra on it?
extra 125 towards the principal every month. And I'm so proud to say I also am at a point with my mortgage where I'm paying more on principal than on interest. That was a
Oh,
huge thing for
that's
me.
nice when you turn the corner there. You're like, I'm making progress now. Yeah, and 3% is a great rate, a fantastic rate. So that's wonderful. And
Thank
20
you.
years, a very efficient mortgage, more efficient than the 30 year.
Yeah, I
So good.
think so.
Okay. Wonderful. Okay, so your savings is 5,000. We have a pending HVAC bill or expense coming up for 6,500. Okay. And then what about your other expenses?
So my other expenses come to around 1500 a month. I can kind of break it down. So groceries is roughly 350. Eating out is around 150. Oh, I'm sorry. That's actually the wrong order. It's actually eating out is 350 and groceries is 150. Cell phone bill is $50. Public transportation, I take the train to work. That's around $200. Any like random household expenses, $40. Internet is 50. Gas and electric are together, so that's 45. I have in my budget travel for 300, clothing 125, and then therapy, couples therapy for 180.
Okay, so you're in a relationship.
I
Okay.
am partnered and we are in couples therapy and it's been pretty awesome.
Oh, good. But you don't live together, so all the expenses are, these are just yours.
These are just mine. We don't live together, no.
Okay, so 1500, we add all that up, and then we have the 1328 plus the 125 for the principal payment. Plus the 529 for the credit cards. And then what are you putting towards your student loans at the
I
moment?
pay about three. So what they're requiring or requesting per month is about 307. But I've been
Okay.
paying a little bit more than that more recently again. I've just been paying like 350. So just a little bit more on it's a I think five loans separated. So between the five of them, I pay about 350 just to pay a little bit more to bring down the balance.
Okay, perfect. And so 125. So if we add up the credit card, the student loan, the mortgage, the principal payment, we'll round up. But so it's about 4,000 a month, give or take.
Yeah, it's about that. Yes.
Wonderful. And then what are you bringing in? What is your take home from your salary?
So my take home is about 2750. Now
And is
I
that every
do
2 weeks?
contribute. Oh, that's every, sorry, that's semi-monthly.
Okay, so twice a month.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. So, do do do. Okay, so you're bringing home 5,500 a month.
Yes.
And we have expenses of around 4,000. So you should have 1,500 left over a month. Does that sound right?
That sounds right, but what I end up doing is because I'm trying to pay down these balances, I will, if I have that 1500, I'll just use it all up to the point where I'll get to the end of the month and I'm like, wow, or every paycheck at the end of the pay period, I'll have no money. And I'm like, wait, how is it that I have like 1500 left over, but I really don't, because I'm literally just throwing money at these credit cards.
The credit cards. So, well, why don't you talk to me about what you have saved? So, are you in your workplace plan?
Yes, I am. I am in a pre-tax 401k. I have about
Okay.
13,600, and they match at 5%. And I do
Oh,
contribute.
wow.
Yeah, I contribute. I believe it's about 8% or 10% right now. I was at 15, but I dropped it because I was like, if I'm getting the 5% match, but at the same time I have a 25% interest rate on a credit card. I gotta like try to pay the credit card off. So I dropped the savings rate a little bit just for a period of time until I can get these credit cards paid off.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so you're doing between 8 and 10%. So if you're doing 10%, that's 10,000 a year, roughly. And then your company match is 5%, so that would be 15,000. How long have you been with this job?
A little over a year. And I
I was
haven't
basing
been.
that off the
Oh, good.
number, right? So if you did 10% over the course of a year, it'd be 10,000, and then plus the 5%, it would be 15. So I figured, so you've been in a little less than a year.
Well, a little over a year. I started contributing to the 401k when I first started, but it was
Okay.
just at I it was a very minimal amount because I was, I was trying to look at, I'm starting this new salary. This is actually I doubled my salary from my previous job. So the
Oh,
first 2 months
wow.
and yeah, the first 2 months I was like, oh, I should treat myself because I haven't made any money like all this time. And so like I'm like, let me buy some things for myself. So I did contribute to the 401k, but I didn't at the level I've been more recently consistently.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have th so that's a great match. And now with having this additional income, I agree. We want to make sure which I mean you're We have to take care of the credit cards, but you did a wonderful job on the five on the I was gonna say 529 on the student loans. So you only have 4,300 left there. You own a home, which is great with a great mortgage rate. So, do you have anything else saved? Is there
I
from
yeah, I
other
have a
few
Roth
previous jobs?
yeah, I have a Roth 401k from a previous job. It's at 10,200.
Okay.
I will say I did have another one from a previous job, and I actually ended up taking money out against it, so I emptied it. And it was because I was trying to pay off things. So I want to say about 10 years ago, when my student loans were super high, I was like, let me use this money to pay off the student loan. So I was trying to, find my way and figure it out. Now, did I know I was going to get hit twice? I knew I was going to get hit once, through taxes, but the double hit really hurt because it was about 18,000 that I took out of
And what do
that
you mean by
account,
the
that
double
retirement
hit?
account.
Do you mean
The
the
10%,
penalty of death
yeah, the
penalty?
penalty,
Okay.
yeah, the penalty before, what is it, re the retirement age? Yeah.
This was before you found our show.
This was before I found your show, because I would not have done this at all. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you. I mean, I have many reasons, but I, for a long time, was working in jobs where I was only getting paid, $50,000, $60,000. I live in a really expensive city, and I haven't been able to save. And I wasn't contributing to my 401ks that much. And when I took that money out, I was like, oh, I can try to figure this out and catch up. But the power of compound interest doesn't allow you to ever catch up. And so I struggle with that because how do I make up for lost time? I can't, and I don't know what to do.
Well, your age, so you've done a lot of things right. So let's look. Yes, taking money out of a 401k is tricky because of the tax hit. And so ideally, if you don't have to, but you are living, and I would definitely say the city that you're in is a high cost of living city. So it's expensive that you're in. And so your income now is well suited for to be in that city. And you've made good decisions with buying a home and having a 20-year, it's very efficient, 3% mortgage. So, and now you have this, you've doubled your income. So now this is where the opportunity lies to try and, I don't want to say play catch up, but change the trajectory a bit in terms of ramping up on saving, because you already are in a home. So we don't have to, that goal is we've checked the box there.
Yes.
And you have one of the lowest mortgage rates in history. So that was a huge, that's a huge win.
Okay.
So what we need to do is we need to get rid of the credit cards. Okay. I think I'm more worried about the credit cards than the student loans at this point. Just the credit card balances you said are totaled around 22,000.
Yeah, they're totaled at 22,000. And the two credit cards are actually, yeah, the two that have the high interest rates are roughly 9,000 together. The rest of them are at 0% interest rates.
Oh, and how did you get 0%? Did you do a balance transfer?
So I did a balance transfer on one of them. Another, like, I called and I just said, hey, you know, is there any possibility we can make some adjustments? And they were like, yeah, we could do this and this and this. And so I was able to get another 12 months at 0%.
Amazing.
And then the other one is always just, it's a credit union. It's pretty low just in general. And I was able to talk them into giving me 0% interest. So they're not 0% forever, but I do have a good, you know, 8 to 12 months on both on the others that do have a 0%. You know, I have some time on them. Yeah.
Okay. What about the other 9? Can we get those to 0? Have you called those friends to see if you could talk?
Oh, well, it's not 9. Sorry, it's 6. I apologize if I misspoke.
Oh, 6. Oh, so 6,000 at high interest still.
Oh, sorry. Yes, it's 9,000 total. Yeah, those two, I thought you were talking about number of credit cards. It's 9,000 total. Yeah, I did try to call and they, no, they weren't budging, you know.
They weren't budging.
And so my partner, yeah, my partner mentioned trying to do a balance transfer and open up another credit card within, you know, that credit card company so that I could go again, you know, get that 0% interest for 18 months, but they haven't, I haven't gotten that offer. So yeah, I'm kind of waiting. I'm paying it off, but I'm kind of waiting for an offer that comes out like that so I can do that again.
Yeah. If you can qualify for another balance transfer, you have to pay for it, but it'll give you some more breathing room if you can get them, all of them around 0%. And then, because if you end up having $1,500 a month left over, so 1500, this is like not going to be a fun 12 months, but if you have 1500 a month left over, that's 18,000 over the course of a year.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing, I kind of want this to be a fun 12 months because I turned 40 in 2 months, and I got some interesting kind of sad news about my fertility. And so I'm considering, you know, IVF with my partner or egg preservation. And I'm gonna be honest, I wish I would have did this a few years ago, but I didn't really learn about it until like 2 years ago. And so I've heard you, you know, kind of talk about this on the podcast, but you know, the price of that is very high. And I called my insurance company and they do not pay for IVF. They'll pay for egg preservation if I can prove infertility. And so I don't know what that cost is going to be, but based off of what my numbers are as of last week, I have to make some decisions soon. So I'm like, do I take out another credit card, you know, to pay this balance, or, you know, pay down the balance, or to pay for the fertility treatment? Or I even considered taking out a home equity loan against my home to pay for this and the HVAC, because I'm like, where do I find the money?
Right, because I would say egg freezing what is like, and also if you're partnered, I'm not a medical doctor, so this is not medical advice, but embryos are better.
Yes, that's what I've heard, because you can test
Yeah.
the health of the embryo.
Well, and
But
then
I
there's
think
less
that costs
hurdles. So
even
like,
more.
yeah, because it's another step. But I think the hurdles are easier as a not medical advice here. But when you freeze eggs, then you have to unfreeze the eggs and then you have to make an embryo. So it's just like another hurdle.
Oh,
So
I
the
see.
statistics, you see, so like you have to get enough eggs to freeze so they don't all make it. And then they freeze. And then you have to unfreeze them. And so they don't all make it. And then you have to do embryos. So frozen embryos, I think, are better.
Right.
Also, if you do it with a partner, would your partner split it with you? Split the cost?
Oh yeah, we've talked about that. He is definitely open to he wants to know the cost first. And
Okay,
but
yeah,
he is
fair. That's a
open,
fair question.
He's open
I would
to
also want to
splitting
know
it
the
with
cost.
me. Yeah, he's open to splitting it with me. I actually am planning to go to a facility in New York City. I'm from up north, and I was told that, it can be a little bit less expensive to do it in New York City. And so I'm considering that. I have not. I'm sorry.
Isn't it ironic that in New York City, egg freezing is actually more affordable?
I know. That's just it just it really doesn't make any sense, but it's so ironic. But yeah, so I'm hoping to get a I did get a quote before in the DC area for just egg preservation, and it was 16,000, and they said at my age I probably have to do three rounds, so it might be even more than that. And so I'm like, if it's 16,000 for just the egg preservation, I can't imagine what the IVF process and that cost is.
I think the reason New York City is cheaper is there's more options, so it's a more competitive space, and
Okay.
there are more pharmacies. So I did it in Utah, also thinking like, oh, it'll be cheaper in Utah. The issue is like, there's no pharmacies here that do it, and in New York they have all these different pharmacies you can choose
Oh,
from.
okay.
Also, New York City and Boston's another major city, but they're also where there's a lot of cancer hospitals. So egg freezing started really
Oh.
egg preservation for people who were going to be losing their fertility as a result of cancer treatments. So there's a lot of top cancer hospitals in Boston and New York. And so egg freezing has been around at those hospitals for a lot longer, versus other places. And this is just all from like the research I did. So this is, I'm not a medical doctor or an expert in this space, but that's what I found is that those
Of
metro
course.
areas have a lot of facilities, and also private equity got in the space. And so there's those facilities in major cities as well. So it can be a bit more affordable. And then the drugs can be a little more affordable because there's more drugstore options. Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Have you thought about just trying to have a baby? Like the other way?
We actually have talked about that, and my partner did ask me how I felt about doing things the non-traditional way, and it's something I'm considering. I just think that at this age, like I've waited this long, why not just go ahead and try to do it the right way? Why not get married and then have a child? But it was brought, he brought that to me actually last weekend, and I'm considering it. But even if I did that, my concern is if, say, I got pregnant, in the next month or so, I'd still have, and I want another child, I'd still have, or I would have a 41-year-old, my eggs would be 41 years old, and then they might really not be in existence, So I'm like, should I still go ahead, even if we did go that route, should I still go ahead and freeze embryos or do the egg preservation just so that I have that insurance, a year from now or a year and a half from now? So that is
Now I
a,
would
you
ask,
know, that's a valid question, but yeah.
and the other thing is, does his insurance cover anything? Like, does
So
he have
his
any
insurance,
fertility coverage?
he has looked into it. He's actually on the same carrier as me. Oh, he has a
Okay.
package that not as advanced as mine. So they definitely, I mean, they don't pay for anything. So yeah, and I don't know that even if his insurance did cover it, if I would qualify because we're not married.
Married, right, that's true.
Right, because I was wondering,
Tricky.
I know in some states, there's like common law based on how long you've been in a
Yes.
relationship, but I don't know what it is for this area, and I have to look into that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/futurerich. That's drinkag1.com/futurerich. Check it out. Okay, so if we assume you're going to need 16,000, right? We'll just use the one number that you have. I would still research it, and then 6,500 for the HVAC. Then that's 22,500. What does the equity look like in your home? Although I'm a little hesitant because you have the first mortgage and the second mortgage.
Yeah, so I actually ran those numbers a few days ago. So the equity in my home, I have 500, I mean 400,000 in equity. And that's great. However, one of the things my partner mentioned is I have the second mortgage that has a 0% interest. In order for me to get a home equity loan, I was told that I would have to roll that into I
The
guess roll it into
primary.
the loan that I'm getting. So then I'd go from, it being 0% interest to then becoming, potentially 6 or 5% interest if I
Higher.
did. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think a home equity line of credit will be higher than 5 or 6% at this stage.
Or yeah,
And
or even higher.
how much is on the second mortgage, that 0%?
39,000.
Yeah, because then you'd have a higher monthly payment.
Right. And so I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that and focus on paying the credit cards and then maybe just trying to get the second mortgage down. So yeah, it's a little tricky. I feel like it's a little tricky because what you just said about me needing the 22,500, that's the exact amount that I have on credit card debt.
Credit
So I'm like,
cards.
oh my gosh.
Manny. Let's see.
I mean, potentially if he did split it with me, it would only be 8,000, so it would be a little
Eight.
bit more
Better.
affordable. Do you ever recommend someone take out a 0% interest credit card to pay on something like that? That way, they're able to do the thing, but they're not burdened by, a high interest rate or just the money, going somewhere else.
I guess my concern is we still have a lot of credit card debt.
Right.
And the thing is, I like you owning a home. Like, I think the fact that the mortgage with the condo fee and everything, like 13, 28 a month is a really affordable housing cost.
Yes.
So I'm not, I think that's a great idea. Because like one thing, my first thing that crossed my mind is like, can you afford to be in the home? But I do think you can. You've also been in it 14 years. You haven't had any major expenses. I think the issue is we're going to need to, I don't want to really tone down the retirement. Are you doing 10%? Do you know for sure it's 10% going in?
And I believe it's between 8 and 10. So let's just say 9 to be on the safe side. Or 8. Yeah, let's just say 8.
Okay. 8. Because then at least 13% is going towards retirement. Where can we cut? Okay, so two things. I think you're going to need a payment plan for the HVAC. I don't know if you can go to Lowe's and get like a 0% APR card. You usually can either choose 15% or 0% for 12 months. I think you're going to need to do that for the HVAC.
Okay. Okay.
I would also price quote that. And if you can defer that, I would defer it. Like if, I don't know, like, so for instance, I'll give you an example and I don't know if this is a situation. I have a leak in my HVAC. And so to repair the leak is like $8,000. But to just fill it with Freon every year costs $500. So I just fill it for $500. Because to repair the leak would be $8. And then I have to refill the entire machine with Freon, which is expensive. So I'm better off math-wise for 10 years filling Freon. Now, they'll tell you you need to fix it. Yeah, it would be great. Mm-hmm. I should fix it. It's actually significantly cheaper just to fill it between $200 and $500 a year. And then some of it leaks, then have to empty the entire machine, so gallons of Freon, and then repair the machine for $8,000 to $10,000, and then refill it and hope it doesn't break again. So I would also get quotes and make sure that there is no Band-Aid that's more affordable to kind of bridge you to maybe 5 years down the road or kind of kick the can down the road a bit.
Okay, well,
just because we have a lot of things at the moment.
Yeah, what's ironic about what you just shared is literally a few hours ago, I had my maintenance guy come by to take a look at my door. And I told him about my HVAC. And he said, well, there might be like a simple fix to this in the meantime, so you don't have to buy an entire new unit. And so he took a look at it and he said, oh, well, there's this, I forget what he calls it, carburetor, something. He said, you can order that on Amazon. I can install it next week and we can see if that's like a fix or like it's like you said, a temporary Band-Aid for now, especially as we're going into the fall where you're not, you know, you might not be using it as much. And so that I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna order it so that I could see if that's possible. So I'm hoping that's the case, because then that will help significantly.
Yeah, that would help significantly. And the thing you have to remember is when you hire these companies, and some of the trades companies have now been purchased by private equity, so they have sales goals every day.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go in. Yeah. So remember, like, they're not your friend. They're there to do, if it's a private equity backed company, which you won't know, they're there to sell you a new HVAC. They're not there to tell you for $200 you can stumble along for the next 10 years. Like, that doesn't make them any money.
Right.
Right. That makes sense. So, yeah, because is it your air conditioning unit? Is it the air conditioning?
It is my air conditioning, yep. Yes.
And
it's been a
cold?
Hot summer here. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
And is it not getting cold? It's running, but it's not getting cold, the unit?
So it's not running. Like, it runs, so it turns on, but it's not getting cold. Yeah, it clicks like it wants to go and get cold, but it just keeps running like the fan. All you hear is a fan. So it's, yeah. So he believes
so also
it's a,
have your,
a temporary fix.
Yeah, and I would also have the Freon checked, because if you don't have enough Freon in the system, and you can just buy Freon, you don't need a whole new system. Because that's a very common one, that the Freon's, there's not enough Freon. So then the unit's running, it's just hot air. It's not getting cold. It's not cooling. And Freon's, it's not cooling, but it's running, it's working, it's just not cooling. That could be Freon, and Freon's not that expensive relative to a new unit. But yeah, so I would definitely investigate fixes. And that's the hard part, is you hire a professional, they come in and they're like, they also did that for me for my furnace. They're like, you need a new furnace, it's $16,000. And I was like, this is a brand new furnace. And they're like, well, it's not working. And I was like, well, then I actually said this to the guy. I was like, so let me get this straight. I need to replace the whole furnace. And I was like, based on the serial number that I looked up before you got here, this is like 3 years old. So wouldn't all the parts be under warranty? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, so then wouldn't it be better if I just paid for labor if every part on this machine is warrantied? And he was like, well, and I was like, that has to be less than $18,000. And he was like, yeah, I think, I was like, I want to be like, do you think I can't do math? Just like,
right.
So you have to be very careful. You have to be very careful. And I could be wrong. I do think sometimes because I'm a single, at the time I was a single woman, they come in and, you know, if they're under sales targets and they're told to sell, yeah, and it would be a lot easier for them just to replace the whole machine, sell me what they want to sell me. They make a commission or what, however they get paid versus, yeah. So I was like, I'm not buying a whole new machine when my entire machine is brand new and all the parts are under warranty. So just also be careful because it's a lot more time to do the research and know how old your machine is and if any of the parts are under warranty and like get a friend to come look at it to see if it's the Freon or the little fan thingy, or I don't know what they're called, but just do your due diligence because that's the hard part about being a homeowner. And I don't know how to fix a lot of these things is sometimes they come in and you get taken advantage of for huge dollar amount, you know?
Right. Yeah. So that's ideally, a really good point.
The fan. Ideally it's the fan or the Freon. Where can we find money here, Nia? Where can I find, so we have $1,500 a month, which is a great amount of money. But the problem is we need a lot of money up front. What else? Travel will have to go. We have to cut travel. If we're going to do all of these things, that has to go.
Yeah, I probably can cut my travel budget a little bit, my clothing budget, possibly eating out as well. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Eating out is pretty huge at $350. I'm vegan. I've been, you know, my work hours sometimes are really long. And so it's easy for me to just go to the Whole Foods down the street and, you know, get a meal, you know, that's already prepared versus kind of like meal prepping. But in order for me to get to these goals, you know, get these goals accomplished, that's a good point. Like I need to get back to meal prepping and dropping.
I just think that we have a lot going on. So we have a decent amount of credit card debt and we might have another, let's just assume the HVAC is going to be fixed by your lovely maintenance man who suggested the Amazon fix.
Yes.
We should tip him. You're like, here's $100. Thanks for saving me $6,500. So let's say that gets fixed and then we have $8,000. So we have $30,000 of upcoming expenses between half of egg freezing credit card debt. Cause like you'll have a lot more freedom in your life when that's gone. But I do think it's going to take a bit of sacrifice in the near term to get there. So I think that if egg freezing is the goal, that's totally fine. But I think that and the credit cards have to be the priority, which means other things cannot be the priority for the short term. The reason being is, as you said, the egg freezing is a very specific time in life that you can do this.
Right.
And I think then that has to be the priority over eating out and vacation, that it's a huge expense, especially when we already have other debt obligations.
Okay. I mean, I can do that, but you know, what about like just retirement and savings in general? You know, should I still be trying to put money towards savings? I mean, I am already doing the pre-tax and it's not a lot that I'm doing. I mean, 8%, I really wish I could like max it out, but I know I'm not at that point. But in terms of just savings, is it smart to even try to up my savings at all or just leave it there? And
I would throw money
at the credit cards. Okay.
Throw money at the credit cards. Yeah. Some people would probably say like, turn it down. But my hesitation is you're going to be 40 and you have 23, almost 24,000. I'd like to see you have more.
Right.
Right. And so my hesitation is I think we need to be doing a little bit towards retirement. And so if you had to, you could take it down to 5 and you have 5% match, at least 10% is going away for retirement. But I'm hesitant. Okay. Have you do nothing towards retirement and miss out on that match money because you're not going to be able to go back in time and get it as you've talked about. So I think it's important that we still make progress there while addressing the other things. And this is a crazy idea. And I imagine you probably have a stressful job for the fact that you're making good money. So the hard part is when we have these financial goals and they're in a very specific time, right? You want to do a lot of, we want to get, the credit cards need to get paid because the interest is going to go through the roof when the 0%. And then we also want to do the egg freezing probably over the next 12 months. So we have around 30,000 in the next 12 months, which is a large portion of what you're making. Because if you think about it, 100,000 after you pay tax and everything, you're bringing home 5,500. So you're bringing home, let's say 60. So 50% of what you're bringing home, we have kind of already earmarked to be spent.
Right.
So either you really get super strict on the spending because you have really affordable housing. So it's like cutting out all these other things, or this crazy idea, you pick up a side hustle for one night a week.
Yeah, I considered that. So the reason why I wasn't making a whole lot of money before is because I am actually a certified personal trainer and yoga instructor. And so that was a hustle.
Why have you been
trying to make
holding out on me?
I'm holding out because it's a hustle to make money in that industry. And so I had to go into an industry or go back into the industry with my degree is in order to make money. You know, like 50,000 in this area is it feels like pennies. And I'm giving everything because I have to physically teach classes. So I'm worn out. And so I have considered going back and teaching, like, even like you said, one night a week or two nights a week. And also getting a roommate. And I know this is kind of weird at 39, but I'm at my boyfriend's house so much that I was like, maybe I should.
Yes. How much would a roommate, how much? Yes. Well, okay, here's the thing. This is all temporary. If you said to me, I have no desire to egg freeze, we'd get your credit cards paid off in 12 months, that would be fine. And then after 12 months, I would ramp up your savings. But egg freezing is super expensive. And I also want to get the credit cards paid off because there will be things that come up with the home in the future. And if we can just hobble together to not pay for the HVAC now, it will maybe be a problem in 5 years. So we need to plan for you to have cash available for when there is an issue. So we either need to spend less, which is can be hard when you have a long, hard job, because I agree. Then you come home at the end of the night, you're tired, you didn't meal prep and you're hungry. And you have to go back and do it again. How much would a roommate yield? Like, what would you think you would charge to rent a room?
So I've done it before, and I, $1,100 is what I got. So.
What?
The only thing about having a roommate is because I'm not married.
The money?
To
you don't
partner,
like the money?
No, I love the money. I love the money. But at my age, at this beautiful age of 39, I'm like, am I too old for a roommate? Because that's what I feel like. I feel like this is too much. Like, I have to share my space with someone else at 39. Like, I
you just
like
count the, you just count the money. You count the money at the end of the month. You count the money and you're like 100, 200, 300, 400, 500. You count the money.
You're right. You're right. I think it's time. I did it for a summer. I think it was,
do it for
it was
a
like
year.
A long summer, it pays, 4 months. Yeah.
It pays for egg freezing. It literally it pays for egg freezing. You're getting a, remember, don't worry about what other people think, right? Other people are not in your shoes. You own a home at the age of 39 in a very, very high cost of living city, which is amazing. At a 20-year 3% mortgage rate, and 39,000 of it is zero. You have $400,000 of equity, but I don't want to jeopardize that equity when you can take a roommate for 12 months. And
take a roommate for 4 months.
Yeah.
You know what it is, Barbara? There have been, you know, DC has really strict rental, I think it, what is it? The laws around renting. And so they're very protective of renters. And so I think that's a fear. Like, if I get someone in my home and I can't get them to
leave.
They
don't leave.
That is very terrifying for me, which is why I tested it out for 4 months in the summer with like a summer intern, because I knew like, oh, they're going to be in school. You know, I don't have to worry about this. Yeah. That's the only concern. I'm going to be honest. That's really, I mean, like, I want to count the money for real, but I'm also like, if I can't get someone out of my home, I will.
That's a problem. Yeah, I don't disagree. Now, do you, the other thing is, do you know anybody, like you have a friend, or do you know anybody like where you have kind of more of a personal reference, and it doesn't have to be 1100, but it would be 900, where you know you kind of know them a bit better, like somebody from one of the yoga studios or somebody you've worked with in the personal training space who you know is losing a lease or has to move. That's always a bit safer than a stranger in your home.
Yeah, I can look into that because I have friends in different fitness spaces that might be, or might even have, siblings that are coming to school, at one of the many universities here. So I'll consider that. So thank you. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's what I would, that would, that is what I would do. So, since you listen to the podcast, so when I first bought the business, I did not want to give up my apartment in New York. It was, I think it was 2,000 a month or 2,100 a month, but I could not afford, and I was in a very similar position in that I had the 2,000 or 2,100 a month I had to pay to keep the apartment or you lose the apartment. But I knew that I could get myself in a better position, but I needed like a year. But that's, you can't pay rent like after. I couldn't be like, so next year I could pay you. I just can't pay you now. And so I had a friend who was looking to buy an apartment. So we were in very different positions. And she was commuting from her parents' home in Staten Island. And I said, I have a great idea. Why don't you pay me $1,000, so half my rent, which wasn't a ton of money for her. And I was like, and you could save yourself 10 hours a week of commuting time, which is $100 an hour, right? Because like it was very far to Staten Island, and you can live in my apartment. And then I'm going to come back on the weekend, and then I'll live there on the weekends. And that worked. And that was a game changer for me to get that $1,000 because I couldn't afford my apartment without it. And I found somebody who I knew, right? And knew her predicament was she's commuting these crazy hours to work every day, but couldn't afford a lease because she needed to, she got rid of her apartment to be able to buy one. So I would just put the feelers out there in your social network. And, you know, if you have somebody who has a sibling coming to start school or do a graduate program and, you know, or they're on there for a 1 year contract, right? They're doing a government contract and they're, and so then that way, and you definitely want to screen them. You're in your home and I completely agree with you. But I would put feelers out because that would be a game changer for you, and that would completely finance the egg freezing.
Yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, thank you for that. Because I'm like, where am I going to find this money? And it's here.
I know, that's what I am too. Like, you have home. Yeah. And you want to, you always want to be careful with roommates. I 100% agree. Trust me, I have lived with, yeah, I can't even tell you how many people I've lived with over the course between college and. And I have tenants. So, and we, sh the home is like just, it's a mother-in-law. So it's like having a roommate because like it's shared walls. And yeah, there's nothing wrong. Everyone's on a different path. There's nothing wrong with having roommates at 39 when it's strategic. Like you're doing it because you have an asset that other people don't have that you can use to make money to change your trajectory and to finance something that you want to finance.
Yeah,
It's not permanent.
that's good. Yeah, it's not permanent, and that's where I need to just like the mindset shift has to be. It's not permanent. I have a goal. I'm trying to freeze these eggs. Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the roommate. I mean, and the alternative, which is gonna be a little bit more work, is you could also teach a class or two a night and make another $100 a week cash, ideally, because 400 a month would make a difference, and that would also help pay for egg freezing. I think you need to
Yeah,
be
that's a
just
concern.
strategic short term.
Strategic short term. And I mean, what you're saying is doable. I can definitely, make some adjustments in my budget and consider the roommate thing, especially as we're going into the fall. I probably could find some folks sooner than later, actually. So yeah, that's a really good point. So I will be working on that for sure.
Okay, amazing. Because I think the way I look at it is if you did that and you made some adjustments in your budget, you could probably get the credit cards and pay for the egg freezing. We're going to assume the HVAC, the maintenance man is taken care of. You could probably get that all done in a year, in 12 months. And then now you go, you hit 41, having frozen your eggs, having gotten rid of your credit card debt, not having a roommate going forward. And now you still have 1500 left over in your budget. And so now what you can do is we can start saving that. We'll still truck along on the student loans, but that's a nominal amount of money compared to the other goals. And then you can start really ramping up your emergency fund. And then from there, you can start at 42, maybe 41 and a half, really start increasing your retirement savings.
Okay. Okay. And is it okay that I'm contributing just to a pre-tax and not like a Roth or, you know, I haven't really done a lot of research around the two or like what's better or what's, you know, what's more supportive, but yeah, I've just been doing pre-tax for this job.
Yeah. Cause you're in a high income bracket. So the issue we have right now is you're paying a lot in tax cause you're single and you're making over $100,000 and we have a lot of goals. So I would err on the side of pre-tax because it's going to stretch farther for you.
Right.
And to me, So to me right now, our goal is to we're finding money and stretching money. That's what we're going to do for the next 12 to 24 months. And so once you get done with the credit card debt and egg freezing and you have a little more bandwidth in your budget, you could investigate the Roth. But I think you'll be absolutely fine as long as we're saving the right amount of money. I think it's fine when you're in a high cost of living city and you're a high income earner to just do pre-tax. I have no issue with that.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll keep trucking along with that then. Yeah.
Unless you retire, if you don't, who knows where you retire, but if you retire potentially in a lower cost of living city or in a state that has no income tax, you could potentially be in a lower bracket in retirement, which means you would have been better off saving pre-tax now while you're in a higher bracket if you think you might be in a lower bracket in retirement.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Do you have other questions for me, Nia?
I do have another question. So I have RSUs from another company that I work for. I tried to log into the account a couple days ago and I cannot figure out my login, so I don't know, but I was not at the company long enough for it to, I think, fully vest, but I do have them, so I don't know if they can still be used, you know, if the company goes public or not. That I don't
know. So they're called restricted stock units, and they were issued to you by a private company, not a public company?
It was a private company, yes.
Did any of them vest?
I think some of them did. I don't know. I guess I need to go back and investigate that. So let me ask you, hypothetically, if they didn't vest, what does that mean?
If they didn't vest, then, so usually with RSUs, you would have been issued them. Hold on, let me get this pulled up. So I don't.
I was issued them. And you get more each year based on, you know, the contract.
And usually they, not always, but it's usually a rolling vest. So I would have thought that you would have had, how long were you there?
I was there for a year and a half. Not very long.
Not very long. I don't know. I would have to see it. If you vest it, you would have paid for them. You usually would have had an obligation at the time.
Okay. That I don't know. And I don't think I did. So essentially, are they just worthless?
It could be. Yeah. If you don't vest and you leave the company, it's possible they are. And they were definitively RSUs, restricted stock units. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would, you have a login or you like,
I do have a login. I've just, for some reason, I just haven't been able, I didn't get the like password reset. So I might have to reach out to the company to get logged back in, but yeah.
Yeah. Do you know if it was like a big vendor, like a name brand company that was the admin on them?
I do not remember because I didn't write it down.
Okay. Right. So I would investigate that. And then if you ended up finding something, like if you found a little pot of money, that's great. So I would investigate the RSUs and see if there's any value there. And if there's anything you can cash out, but I really do think your best option is like looking at your budget, seeing what you can cut back on, investigating getting a roommate, even if it's a friend of a friend where you charge less, but it's like more of a proven entity, and then focus the next year. I think the egg freezing and the credit card should be the focus for the next year and make some short-term sacrifices to get to achieve those goals. And then from there, once you get rid of the credit card debt, you're in a great position. $2,000 a month coming in, you know, because you won't have a $500 and you'll still have the $1,500 a month left over. So for the RSUs, I would get in touch with the company, find out if there's any value there. And then if there is, that's like extra money you can use to, I would pay down the credit cards. I don't think there will be, but if you find extra money, that's amazing. We always like to find money.
Well, we found money in the house when I rented.
Yes. It's an asset. Remember your house is an asset. And so you should use it. And I do oftentimes see women who are older, like single women, they do that. And so they'll buy a two-family house and they can rent out one side of it, or they have a mother-in-law, so they Airbnb, because it can be really good income and it's not a permanent situation. Just like if you decided to pick up teaching a yoga class, you know, 1 week a night, like it doesn't have to be permanent. It's just to kind of get you through this tough part where we have a lot of credit card debt and we also have a very expensive short-term goal. That's what, you know, egg freezing is short-term and expensive. And so how do we marry both those and get those done? We have to do something we're not currently doing, right?
Right. Well, thank you. I was feeling extremely overwhelmed, you know, having a higher income now, but feeling like at the end of the month, I literally have nothing is stressful, and it's been stressful. So, you know, this has been really helpful in helping me navigate, like, you know, where to put the money or where to throw the money to pay down the debt so that I can feel like I can breathe again.
Yeah. I think your target should be make some short-term sacrifices so you can get rid of the credit card debt and do the egg freezing, and then stay away from the credit cards. Like once we get through that, then like don't use them. You then, once the credit cards are done, you have $2,000 back in your budget and that should go to savings. And if you can do that for 6 months, that would get you $12,000 plus you already have five. So then that gets you to, you know, $17,000 in an emergency fund, and that should be comfortable. You could always get to 20. And then now you don't have to go to a credit card if there's a problem. You have money to use, and then you pay yourself back. And then that'll be a better habit going forward. And then from there, you can up the retirement once we have that solid emergency fund.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. I love this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thank you for all of what you do for, you know, for the community, for us women, for helping us educate ourselves. This is awesome. And I really, really appreciate the hard work that you and your team put in for all of us.
Thank you. That's so nice of you. We do. Yeah. This is a nights and weekend thing for us. So we appreciate hearing that. So for all of our lovely listeners, if you enjoy the show, please share it with a friend and subscribe. It will help us tremendously. And you can follow along on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.